Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts. Live from Trackside, this is IMSA Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome along to a very good morning. The green flag is in the air, 66 in the air, and 77 on the track, or if you prefer, 19 Celsius and 25 Celsius on the track. Green flag for the morning warm-up for the Lexus Grand Prix at Mid-Ohio, and it's live on IMSA Radio.
The WeatherTech Sports Car Championship on IMSA Radio.
A 20-minute session this morning for a run around the circuit and the opportunity for the cars and drivers just to make sure that they are all okay before we get into the Lexus Grand Prix at Mid-Ohio. Good morning. And welcome along. It's John Hindorf in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. And Shea Adam is down in the pit lane. We'll go to Shea in just a moment as the cars are getting up to speed. I would think that pretty much all of the cars will take the opportunity to go out. This is a session that we will be talking about times. But of course, the grid was set yesterday in a, frankly, very exciting 15-minute qualifying session. Split into parts for the different classes out on the circuit. We've got four of the five IMSA classes this weekend. GT Daytona are the only GT class, not GTD Pro this weekend. Then we've got the three LMP3 P3 categories with P3, P2 and DPI. And it was a brilliant qualifying, as I say, yesterday that saw a scrap at the top of the field. So let's see how many are out at the moment. 18 of the 31 cars on track. Brian Sellers has not gone out yet for Paul Miller Racing. We'll see if that car disappear into the ether and see if he gets out onto the circuit. Already had 3 minutes of this session at IMSA Radio if you want to get in touch with us, whether you're here at the track or further afield. And a problem for the number 20. This is the Anders Fjordback driven high class racing car, which was the fastest in qualifying yesterday with a simply fabulous, fabulous time for the Scandinavian. Well, that car is dead stick coming out of the keyhole, that is, actually, at the top of the hill. He's over to driver's right, where the rallycross track is. That dirt area there, not bereft of grass by accident. I've had a number of rallycross events here down through the years. This might bring out a red flag here. Not what anybody wanted. No movement at all from the number 20 and Anders Fjordback. He's recycled it, and he's got the V8 motor running, and it fires up, and he's got forward motion down to the bottom of the hill for them, so that's good news, and we've stayed green. Jeremy Shaw joining us later on. We've got a busy day today. Superfast Saturday, yesterday. Sunday is fun day today with the second race, round six of this season's Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Championship. Then we've got our countdown to green. Then the Lexus Grand Prix at Mid-Ohio. And for those of you outside the US. We'll have full coverage of the big race for you in sound and vision inside the US. Sirius XM's your choice, as well as RS2, IMSA Radio, flag to flag. And then, of course, we'll be bringing you the Mazda race live in sound and vision wherever you are. If you go to imsaradio.com, all the details are on there. Little drop out on the far side of the circuit for the bright yellow and green number 13. This is the third place car in its category, Orif Adani for AWA. And this again is at the top of the hill. Big lock-up going in this time, though. Both front Michelins locked up for Orit. Goes through the slightly damp gravel at the top of the hill. Let's see if we can get in touch with Shea Adam down in the pit lane with 13 minutes and 20 seconds to go. Pleasant this morning. And I hear Shea down in the pit lane. Shea, good morning.
Good morning, John. It is beautiful weather conditions out. No threat of rain today, thankfully. I was standing at the high-class box because I think that's the car that had stopped out on the circuit. It came back into its pit stall very slowly, and then they plugged in the data cable. But there appears to be no urgency in their pit box to try and figure out what was wrong. As a matter of fact, they changed the tires, and looks like they're going to be sending Anders Fjordback back out. So no chance to chat with him and figure out what happened to that car to make it come to a complete halt on the racetrack.
Shea, what's the word in the paddock? Weather yesterday, of course, played havoc with our first Mazda race. It looks like we're going to not have a repeat of that this afternoon, or this morning, should I say. How are the teams feeling about, particularly in the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship paddock, about how this day is going to pan out?
Well, there's a lot of optimism because this track has changed slightly from when we were last on it last night, because all the rental cars this morning were covered in a fine layer of dew. But other than that, it seems to be in very good condition as far as the track is concerned. So should be a nice clean race. And with 31 cars ready to take the green flag, it's going to be a busy day on the racetrack.
And as far as the weather's concerned, Shea, I read out the temperatures early on. 77 degrees Fahrenheit on the track, and breezy, 66 Fahrenheit in the air, if you prefer 19 and 25 on the Celsius scale. That's just about perfect for race cars, tyres and engines this morning, isn't it?
Definitely. All the race cars seem to be pretty happily purring along through this morning warm-up, and with the eliminated threat of rain, that's made life even better for all the drivers, the crew members, the officials, everybody. The fact that you don't need to have your raincoat with you has made life a lot better. If you'll give me a sec, I'm just going to try and dive in here with Kuno Whitmer.
Yep.
Kuno, do you want to chat really quick? This is a place that's been pretty cool to you throughout the years. You've driven a lot of different cars here, including the race win with AWA in a GT4 machine. How different is it with the same team but the LMP3 car?
Well, already that team is extraordinary. They're able to go from a GT4 to an LMP3 car with barely any testing, and we're proving that we're very competitive. So the team, hats off to them. Last year was I think probably one of my nicest victories here. I think I've won about five or six times in different categories over the last 20 years. But last year was special, and a big fight last year with the Porsche with Jan Halen. And again, it was testament to the team. So everything panned out. The tires were amazing last year. Everything was great, and now the only thing now is just getting used to a new machinery and getting back out there, finding the right setups, and everything should be good today. Should be nice weather. We like nice weather, that's for sure. But if it does rain, we're ready for it as well.
For you guys trying to adapt to this LMP3 car, it's been difficult because it is so different to anything that Ori in particular has driven. How has it been to help coach him along to get up to speed at this new car at this particular venue?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we attempted to come testing here last week, or a couple of weeks ago. We tried coming to do a test here, but it ended up snowing and raining and being really cold. So that was not a good one. But the idea is just to always keep him on top of things. And if he does something that needs small adjustment, then we do it right away. So as long as you attack it right away and you don't let certain things just linger, you have to be on it. So yeah, sure. My role is to be the lead driver and the pro on the team, but number one responsibility is be that coach for Ori, because it's so vital that we keep him safe in the car. These cars are quick.
So what's the plan for this morning warm-up? Let him have more track time?
Yeah, more track time for Ori. As far as setups go and all that, we're set. We're ready for the race. And if I could jump in at the end for a quick 2 minutes just to get an assessment, because the next time I'm in the car, it's going to be at least an hour in. So, and then we'll finish off with double.
Good luck today, Kudo.
Thank you.
Yeah, a little off for Ori Fadani at the keyhole earlier on, but he has continued. He's turning laps. First time this weekend, Shear, that we've seen Juan Montoya. He was rather busy with his, well, what was supposed to be just a test run for Dragon for his team in the Indianapolis 500 in the GP yesterday. He ended up running in the top five before he put it in the wall at the end of the race. But he's out in the 81 Dragon Speed car now, and he's fastest in LMP2.
Because that's what happens when you bring Juan Montoya to a track. I'm walking down towards their pit box now. It has been Henrik Hedman who has driven every minute of every practice session and qualifying so far this weekend. Henrik has been a busy guy. Yeah, Juan Pablo Montoya out on track. His son Sebastian is here in the box. Sebastian, who drove with he and Henrik at the Mobile 1 12 hours of Sebring. But it is still one of those situations where Juan Montoya, he gets 20 minutes of practice, effectively, before he goes into the race. And he will be expected by this team to bring it to victory. So no pressure at all for Juan.
Shane, not seen so far, and you can tell me whether this is planned or whether this is problematical. The number 30, Ligier from Junior 3 Racing, the 38 Performance Tech LMP3, those both LMP3s, as is John Bennett, Core Autosport. Well, the 54 car doesn't normally do
that's
morning warm-up. Yeah, that's planned. Dakota Dickerson for MLT.
Performance Tech is planned.
Okay.
Performance MLT. Tech is definitely planned. MLT, I would imagine, is planned because, of course, the IPC race is starting immediately off the back of this warm-up session, which would also include Junior 3 Racing because Ari Balog is sharing that car with Thomas Merrill. So that would be another one. I know that Lance Wilsey is not driving in this morning warm-up because he is driving in the IPC race. So it is Joao Barbosa only in the Sean Creech Motorsport number 33 LMP3. Who else have we got?
Russell Ward has got some sector times, but I think that was just an out and in lap. And that car, the 57, shown back in the pits for Windward Racing AMG.
Okay, I'll march down there.
Thank you, Shea. 6.5 minutes to go of the 20 at IMSA Radio if you want to get in touch. Always good to have you here in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. Jeremy Shaw joining us later on. He's standing by for the IPC race. You'll hear him and Brian Till on the PA for that in a little while. For the sake of probity, although the times count for naught this morning, Ricky Taylor is fastest with a 1:13.384. That's a couple of seconds slower than we saw in qualifying yesterday. So that's the number 10 back into the pits for the Konica Minolta Acura. They've done 9 laps and a couple of passes through the pit lane. Second and out on the track, Cadillac Racing 01. That is the lighter coloured car. And that is Renger van der Zander behind the wheel of that. And just second by just 0.26 of a second. 0.26 of a second. And then it's Pipo Durrani in the number 31 wheel and engineering Cadillac. It's the red and white car. Earl Bamber in the 0.2 Cadillac Racing car is in fourth position. Richard Westbrook for JDC in fifth. 2 seconds between those top five. Juan Montoya, we mentioned, heading up the LMP2s ahead of Josh Pearson, who's getting some time in the PR1 Matheson, number 52 in second, and Jonathan Bomarito for the... Will Stevens, sorry, just going up into third for Tower Motorsport. In P3, it's Felipe Fraga for Riley Motorsports, number 74, ahead of Gabby Chavez in the Andretti Autosport, the pool sitting 36 car in second this morning, and Joao Barbosa for Sean Creech Motorsport has done a few laps as well. And in GTD, BMW, but not the BMW that's on pole later on today for the Lexus Grand Prix at Mid-Ohio. It's Turner Motorsport and Bill Oberlin getting in a decent lap this morning for a 1:22.3 ahead of Car Barnes Lamborghini and Mike Skeen for Team Kortoff. Shea Adam knows a bit more about the GTD side of things with 4.5 minutes still to go. Shea?
They're about to take Bill Oberlin out of that Turner Motorsport BMW and install Robbie Foley. Both drivers getting lots of practice last night in the Michelin Pilot Challenge race. But that is one driver change that I just noticed is about to happen, as well as the next pit box down from them. Alex Lynn is about to be getting into the 02 Cadillac in place of Earl Bamber. So I'll wait here for both of those cars and maybe grab a word with either Bill or Earl.
Already trying to loosen off his belt. He's unfastened his helmet. Radio cord pulls in the Turner Motorsport area. And it's a really quick changeover. Did not take the wheel off, I noticed there. Very interesting. So they've swapped over. And here comes Robbie Foley. He's in. What he does do is moves the steering column back towards him. But interesting, Shea, that they didn't take any take the steering wheel off. It is a removable steering wheel, but he didn't do it. And by the way, coming into the pits, I should say as well, Ryan Hardwick committing to the pit lane a minute or two ago and had to do another lap because he was... Oh, no, he just made it in as I think it was one of the PR1 cars was going round him as he came in. But, Shea, you keep a close eye on GTD. Is that standard practice that they don't take the steering wheel off?
Yeah, I've never seen a steering wheel come off in GTD that I can think of off the top of my head. Most of them just push it in further, and then like Robbie Foley just did there, pull it back towards them, the getting in driver. There's movable pedals too in GTD, so they can actually pull those back toward the driver if the getting in driver is shorter than the getting out driver, or vice versa. They can do whatever they need as far as that's concerned. Oberlin has gotten out. He got up on the box too. Debrief with Don Salama, trying to give every little bit of extra detailed info that he can on this BMW. Sorry to jump in, Bill, and interrupt. I love when there's a number one on the side of your car. It's just warm up, but how do you feel about Turner's chances of getting some tacos and margaritas tonight?
This BMW M4 is good. You could tell by that us and the Paul Miller car have been doing very well in mid-Ohio. Traditionally, our BMWs do well here. That's why I've been lucky enough to win this race 5 times, right? So every time we come here, we look forward to it. Robbie, yesterday the conditions were really tricky, and qualifying started out kind of in the wet, and they went to dry. I think Robbie used up a little bit too much tire early when he couldn't move P1 all the time, but the lap time didn't matter because later is when it came, and he had used up too much tire. So that's why we're on the second row, which is still good. We got some of the best guys in the business here for strategy, and we got a great car, great crew, great sponsors. So I think we're looking good. I mean, yeah. And in practice, it was a little edgy. The conditions are kind of weird. We changed our car overnight a little bit, and what it felt like was much different than what I should have had. So we're trying to figure it out. We'll be fine.
Is it the track, do you think, that felt weird?
Yeah, probably. I think the track in the morning after maybe some of the wetness, if it happened, I'm not sure, but the track's pretty green, and we just don't want to react too hard to it. We're also on a used set of tires from yesterday, so you're trying to make a change, yet a few of the conditions are a little bit different. Don't read too much into it.
What did you learn from the pilot race yesterday that will help you win the race today?
Oh my gosh, that race killed me. So we were set up really good strategy-wise. Came in for our pit stop. We were totally out of sequence, but we were in very good condition. Came in, and a very odd thing happened in our pit. I was called out before we were done fueling. So I started to leave, but then I caught out of the corner of my eye the fueler was still in. So he pulled out. I stopped. He had to go back in. That took an extra 20 seconds. Great. So I said, did we get all the fuel in the car? Nobody. We thought we did. Everything was good. We were reading the fuel numbers off the dash. We looked like we were going to be good by about 4 liters, which was great. We're P7. On the last lap, a lot of our competition all ran out of gas, including us. Even though the car said we had like 7 or 8 liters left, I ran out of gas. I didn't make it around the line, so we were in bad shape. We need to go back to the drawing board on that one to figure it out. So, yeah.
So you learned no drinks bottle. You're going to replace it with fuel today.
The answer is put enough gas in your car. That ultimately, I didn't answer your question. Put enough gas in your car to make it to the end. Passing here is very difficult. So you, strategy-wise, need to get yourself out of the line so you can do fast laps alone. And then coming to the last stint, maybe you'll see, maybe you leapfrog some people in the theoretical space when you're running alone. If that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Thanks for the chat, Bill. Good luck today.
Thanks.
Oh, brilliant stuff as ever from Bill Orbelin. Checkered flag is out. Fast lap there in LMP2 for Jonathan Bomarito right at the end. And from Josh Pearson. Both the PR1 Matheson cars coming to life, the 11 and the 52. So Juan Montoya will end up in third position. But those are his first 15 laps here in the Dragon Speed, number 81. He hot-footed it from Indianapolis yesterday evening. Fastest, Tom Blomqvist right at the end. It was Pipo Durrani. MSR, Tom Blomqvist in the 60, Acura. So it's Acura Cadillac at the sharp end of the field, separated by just about a second. Well, Tom really wound up there at the end with a 1:12.222. That's a full second faster than Pipo Durrani managed there. So that will put them in a good mood for the Lexus Grand Prix at Mid-Ohio. We'll have that for you. If you're outside the US and there's no network TV deal, live in sound and vision, check imsaradio.com for the on-air times. Michelin Countdown to Green for you, exclusively live from the grid with Shane, Jeremy, I here in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. We'll have your Porsche keys to the race as well as a full field rundown in that. And before even all of that, we'll be back with Iinomitu Mazda MX-5 Round 6, the second run and race of the weekend for them here at Mid-Ohio. That's all still to come. Take a deep breath and enjoy the rest of this fun day, Sunday. Well, plenty of action to come here on IMSA Radio and IMSA TV. Thanks to Shea Adam. I'm John Hindhoff. We'll be back later with the Masters.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.